GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. This was the day former President Donald Trump said he would be arrested. That seems unlikely, but he does face the possibility of indictment if criminal charges are filed in the Stormy Daniels hush money case.
Overnight, former President Trump releasing an insult-filled statement on social media about prosecutors and Stormy Daniels after earlier making an unverified claim he would be arrested today, stemming from an investigation into a hush payment to the porn actress weeks before the 2016 election.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky outside Manhattan Criminal Court. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida making a surprise visit to Kyiv, meeting with President Volodymyr Zelensky as Chinese President Xi Jinping continues his Moscow talks with Vladimir Putin. Public schools in Los Angeles are closed today. Support staff like cafeteria workers, special education assistants, and bus drivers are walking the picket line. This is ABC News. Video from a hospital in Virginia where a man died in police custody is expected to be released today. 28-year-old Irvo Oteno died after apparently being held down by sheriff's deputies and hospital workers. 10 people are facing murder charges. A Houston man now facing charges in connection with the death of his 2-year-old after she was taken from daycare.
From the daycare, police say DeAndre Flanagan went to the Walmart where the child's mother works, demanded her cell phone and passcode, and left with the toddler. Sandra Friend says Flanagan sideswiped her car as he fled.
After he hit me, he backs out and he goes through the light, and all I see is the police following him.
A pursuit led to an empty field and a standoff. Flanagan eventually was arrested. His daughter was flown to a hospital but died of injuries she suffered either during the chase or during the standoff. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The next time the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus comes to town, it'll show up without animals. Justin Finch, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. More and more Wisconsin school districts are hiring teachers using emergency licenses. A report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that the State Department of Public Instruction issued over 3,000 emergency licenses last year, up from about 1,100 just a decade ago. An emergency license can be issued to people with a bachelor's degree in any subject area. Those teachers don't have to be fully certified. The license can be renewed for those trying to meet the requirements of a full license. A man accused of stealing a van from an Illinois funeral home with a body inside was arrested Sunday in Green Bay after a traffic stop. 23-year-old Dion Howard is facing numerous charges, including possession of a firearm by a felon. The van was stolen in January outside of a Rockford funeral home. The body was later found in Chicago. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Every morning. It's always great to be a baby boomer because you can reach back.
You know. You better believe it.
You know, I always say, I wonder if, because this is like 50 years old, 48 years old, but it still sounds good today. You know, and I'm wondering if rap, when they get to be 70 years old, that they'll be saying the same thing. Anyway, hey, oh, we're on air. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm honored to have in studio Ms. Marva Herndon, a school board member of Milwaukee Public Schools in District 1. And she is running for re-election, and she's brought along with her Miss Erica Simpson, who is a candidate in District Number 2. She's also a board member of Milwaukee Public Schools. Good morning to the both of you. How you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. Doing well.
Yeah. You know, Marva, in a different life, I used to have you on my show. And
right.
We spent a lot of time talking.
And we did
education.
Radio shows, Education.
Educators Amplified.
Couple years.
Yeah, I forgot about that. And what most people may not know is my commitment and love to public schools, and especially Milwaukee Public Schools. And I just, like others, I spent the last 12 years volunteering my time in Milwaukee Public Schools. And so I think I know a little something about what's going on, what's taking place there, because I've spent my time there. And not just the fact that last year was my 50-year high school reunion from Washington High School. So I love public schools. I love Milwaukee Public Schools. But Milwaukee Public Schools and public schools across the nation are under assault right now. And anybody who doesn't understand that is not willing to open their eyes and in their ears and listen to what's taking place. And I'll say this before we move forward. I have not ever been opposed to you know, people having options and opportunities to go where they want to go. But where I have a problem with all of this is when you take away resources from where the majority of the children go and then say, okay, you've got the majority of the students. We're going to take resources away from you, but we expect you to educate those children at the same rate that you did before we took away the resources. Oh, and by the way, we're going to open up other school districts that you're going to be competing with. I just think there's something that's not right with that. And that's the end of my sermon on that. But anyway, let's begin, Marva. Milwaukee Public Schools is facing some difficult times. And I would say in my 69 years of living, the most difficult times that it's ever faced is right now. And losing a major share of the students that went to Milwaukee Public School. I mean, when I went to school, there was 120,000 students.
Yes, that's true. The population has dropped in the city, for one, and those that live in the city are not having as many children as in the past.
True.
Which the economy is probably driving that as well. So everybody's dealing with a smaller piece of the pie in terms of student population. And in addition to that, in Wisconsin, as you mentioned earlier, is that we've been defunded for 20 to 30 years in public schools. And initially it was MPS only that was the targeted. And whereas now is the entire state. So we're more in the same boat at this point. And then the state legislator wants to expand school choice even more. So yes, it is critical. And coming back off of COVID, I don't think any of us have totally reacclimated ourselves to what we perceived as normal prior to COVID.
So I know we're going to get a lot of calls. That's fine. We're going to have the conversations. We're going to open it up to everybody. But clearly there's something going on as public schools across the state, as you stated, having this issue. You and I, Marva, remember when voucher schools were created.
Yes.
I know who created them, Polly Williams and Larry Harwell.
Yes.
I know the purpose and the reasons for why they were created at the time. Polly Williams, and then under Governor Tommy Thompson. She went to Governor Thompson and others and said, look, we'd like to have a fair and equitable opportunity for poor black children to get quality educations. Can we talk about maybe creating that kind of environment? Governor Thompson at the time agreed, and so they created voucher schools. Voucher schools that were created at that point in time were created to address poor black children and give them a fair and equitable opportunity at the quality educations that people believed existed in suburban areas. And so when they opened that door, they were in such a hurry to open the door, the schools, many of the schools were no more than storefronts with no books, no gyms, no cafeterias, educators who had no standards. And so we have to talk about where all of this started, and then we're going to talk about where things are now. But I think it's important that we do talk about from where it came to where it is today. So it came from those background, from that background to now, and Milwaukee as the target, to now South Milwaukee, Green Bay, all over the state, public schools are up against what has been created with voucher schools. And not vouchers. I don't know what they call them now.
They're voucher schools. There's two types. The charter schools, which have to have an authorizer to operate, and they cannot teach religion. Voucher schools can teach religion. Therefore, whereas it did start in all the storefronts in that, there are a few of those left.
I know. Only the major players now.
Churches now.
Yeah.
And the major players are with the charters. And the churches, because vouchers can teach religion, they're using the program to pretty much run their congregations.
So So what has happened is this thing, the Republicans got a hold to it under then first President Bush, the first Bush, and kind of took the program away from Polly Williams, who created it, and then Republicans got behind it, and it is where it is right now. But my issue with it again is that my wife and I were fortunate and able to send our kids, one of my sons, to a private school. We paid for that, right? I think it was Pius, first Messman, then Pius. We paid for that, right? And so we're in a position now with this where people who've been sending their kids to private schools now get a voucher. They can afford to send their kids to private schools. Why are we, the taxpayers, paying for people who can afford to send their kids to private schools? I mean, there's so many different aspects to this. And our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. If I'm fabricating what I'm saying, you got a chance to call in and correct me. But I don't think you're going to be calling in and correcting me, because I know I'm 100% correct. And so if that's the case, and it is, then why should we, the taxpayers, have to pay for middle class and upper middle class children their education? We've got a public educational system that was supposed to cover all of those things. If you want to add the additional system to it, then fine. But there's something wrong when you now add the fact that people who can afford it, that their children can get to go to school on the backs of the taxpayers. Got a problem with that. Having said that, let's get back to Milwaukee Public Schools, because I needed to get that off my chest. Right?
We have to come more often so we can cover all the bases.
So here's where we are. Marvin, Milwaukee Public Schools is in a tough situation. It's being attacked from all sides. People who expect a district that has children who struggle economically, whose families have been destroyed, who live in war zones, where single mothers who struggle, who work at minimum wage jobs, who don't get support, and children who experience horrific evenings once they get home, to come to school that morning having gone through horrific issues in their lives, and now all of a sudden Milwaukee Public Schools is supposed to become the savior. The counselors, as well as, you know, feed, clothe, and take care of children who are in wounded and whose families are in wounded environments. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So we've got to go to a break, and then I'll give you guys a chance. I just had to get that off my chest. All right. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My guest is Miss Erica Simpson. I'll get it right. And Ms. Marva Herndon. Oh. Erica Seamsman.
Simpson.
And Marva Herndon. I'll get it right. They're both representing Milwaukee Public Schools. And you can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Eric.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered snow showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 38, northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight, scattered rain showers likely, lows around 33. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, daytime highs approaching 46. A dusting of snow today with another dusting Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 27.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
Theo.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to introduce again my guest, Miss Erica Simpson and Miss Marva Herndon, and they are both board members of Milwaukee Public Schools. They're in races, in District 1 and District 2, but they're here to talk about some things that I think it's important for people to know. Marva, you were talking about something that's taking place, something that was talked about many years, and that was a takeover of Milwaukee Public School System at 10 years or so ago. It was the state who was earmarked as taking over Milwaukee Public School District because, as many had said, it was a failure and it was failing students. But now it's no longer the state that's looking to take over Milwaukee Public Schools. It is a different organization. You want to elaborate a little bit on what's happening?
Yes, we have a local community organization that has developed themselves over this last 10, 15, 20 years, which is schools...
City Forward.
City Forward, which is the latest organization. And that is a combination of a couple of the others. That they were all independent at one point, like Milwaukee Succeeds and Schools That Can Milwaukee. And then City Forward was created and built by the woman that was the executive director, perhaps owner, of the Carmen Charter School Network.
For people who don't know, Carmen Charter School is a part of Milwaukee Public Schools. It's what they call a non-instrumentality charter, which basically means they don't have to follow the same rules as the other public school systems.
Exactly.
Other public schools and Milwaukee Public Schools.
Right. They're independent entities totally.
Yeah, and but they are under the banner of Milwaukee Public Schools.
They're authorized, and an authorizer is simply the district acts as a conduit for their funding from the state and does a review, wouldn't you say, Erica, once a year. And that's pretty much it, whereas the general public thinks that they're owned by the district, and they are not. The district is basically a conduit for a couple functions, and that's it. They have their own school board of directors, the whole nine yards.
Okay, so Marva, your concern is that the City Forward Collective has a plan to somehow take over Milwaukee Public Schools.
Yes, their business plan was published a number of years ago. And at first, with the buildings, you remember when the initiative was passed that the city must sell the empty buildings, right, or whatever, is a long time ago. But what they found out was they don't want to own the building. So that's where this whole building issue comes in, that's used as a political tool at this point, is that, you know, we've got these buildings and we could just put them up for sale. And if you look back what's been happening, we've got like Edison that's been on the market for probably 20 years. Wheatley, Phyllis Wheatley was on the market for probably 5 to 10. So what's happening is they don't want to own the buildings, and eventually, hopefully, some investor comes along and convert them to housing, which is what has happened. So the fact that people say, oh, the district has these buildings, yeah, but putting them up for sale doesn't mean anything, except they'll probably sit empty for a long time, like the ones that are on the market already.
But for the sake of clarity, the buildings belong to the taxpayers, the city of Milwaukee. They don't belong to Milwaukee Public Schools.
Exactly. That's so, the other thing.
Yeah, so you know, that clearly it has been an ongoing issue that has impacted and affected these conversations about what's happening with Milwaukee Public Schools. But let me ask you, Ms. Simpson. Your thoughts. You were an educator for over 30 years in Milwaukee Public Schools. So you've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. What are your thoughts about what's taking place today?
Well, I think that it's really problematic that we have these systems in our city that have, you know, we have these different systems and organizations that are out sort of attacking the public education schools rather than working with us on some of the things that we know are problematic. And it takes away, you know, it changes the conversation, and it takes away from what we really should be talking about. Like right now, I would rather be talking about what can we bring into our schools that is so necessary, you know, trauma-informed care and the funding that we need. And when we have, when things are fragmented and fractured apart, it confuses our parents. You know, they're not always sure what system they're signing up for when they're enrolling their kids in our MPS schools. So I think it creates a lot of confusion. It, you know, it sidelines the conversation. It takes our focus away from the children and what should be happening in our schools.
So from the time 30 years ago when you first started teaching to, let's say, the last year that you taught, the children are not coming to school prepared to learn because of the conditions of their families, right? I mean, I'm from a family of 13, and when we came to school, we, and granted, it was a long time ago, you know, back when they had oil lamps for, you know, in the classroom. But the truth of the matter is, we all knew, could count to 100, we all knew our alphabets when we came to school at 5 years old. What I noticed during the time I was in the school system is kids coming to school at the age of 7. First time. Can't read, can't write, don't know the alphabets, don't know how to count to 10. There's something going on in the society that we have to address, and I don't think it's fair to think that a school system should be the arbiter of what is wrong and should be challenged with fixing what we know is a broader problem than just the educational system. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. This was the day former President Donald Trump said he would be arrested. That seems unlikely, but he does face the possibility of indictment if criminal charges are filed in the Stormy Daniels hush money case.
Overnight, former President Trump releasing an insult-filled statement on social media about prosecutors and Stormy Daniels after earlier making an unverified claim he would be arrested today. stemming from an investigation into a hush payment to the porn actress weeks before the 2016 election.
That's ABC's Aaron Katursky outside Manhattan Criminal Court. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida making a surprise visit to Kyiv, meeting with President Volodymyr Zelensky as Chinese President Xi Jinping continues his Moscow talks with Vladimir Putin. Public schools in Los Angeles are closed today. Support staff like cafeteria workers, special education assistants, and bus drivers are walking the picket line. This is ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin leaders are calling on carmakers Kia and Hyundai to make their vehicles harder to steal. Theft spiked in Milwaukee 2 years ago when nearly 7,000 Kias and Hyundais were stolen. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
These vehicles are then, after they're stolen, are used for reckless driving, and they're also used in the commission of other serious crimes, sometimes making it more difficult for law enforcement to identify the person who's committing the crime because the vehicle has been stolen.
Today, the Milwaukee Common Council is authorizing the city attorney to find a legal remedy to the problem. The U.S. Energy Department is renewing sustainable energy research at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. The UW could get almost $148 million over the next 5 years. In sports, Wisconsin takes on Oregon tonight in the NIT quarterfinals. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Ms. Marva Herndon. She is a retired computer programmer, and she's currently a school board member in District 1, and she's up for re-election. And Ms. Erica Simpson, who is also a board of director for Milwaukee Public Schools, and she's in District 2. You know, guys, what do you say to people who say children are failing horribly and Milwaukee Public Schools is not educating the children? And so because Milwaukee Public Schools is not doing a a proper job of educating the children. We need to take the children out of Milwaukee Public Schools and put them in private entities. There are many people who say mm-hmm. this. What are your thoughts to that?
Well, I would say that the funding system is failing our children is what's really happening. We've talked about this a lot, where the funding system is based, you know, on property taxes. So if I live in Milwaukee and I have there is a lower amount of money coming in, and I live in versus, you know, Shorewood or, you know, Whitefish Bay, where they have more money, you know, you're kind of like setting the system up for failure because you are not treating those children with equal amount of monetary value. You're saying this child is worth this much and this child is worth this much more. So it's a funding system failure really across the state for all of our kids. That's the first thing. The second part of it is just that in the last 10 years, we haven't received the cost of living increases that we need in order to keep up just to pay the bills. So, you know, we've defunded and underfunded the system. And, you know, obviously not taking away the incredible responsibility that the district carries to educate our children, but it can't just be MPS. We have to look at the broader picture as well, and part of that is funding.
So Marva, when they compare and say, well, let's compare Milwaukee Public Schools to, let's just say
St. Marcus or yeah, something like
St. Marcus. Let's say St. Marcus. And, St. Marcus is dealing with the same parents, the same families. So how is that an excuse? If St. Marcus and other for-profit entities are dealing with the same kids and doing a better job, why is MPS complaining?
It's not that MPS is complaining. First, I'll say how they succeed better with educating the children, at least that's what comes out. That is because all of our parents want our children to be successful no matter what school system they're in. The school choice program is set up in such a way that they capture the parents that even if they may be low income, they have that drive to try to make sure their children get educated. Therefore, when they enroll into a charter or voucher school, those schools can set up whatever rules and regulations they want.
That's standards.
That's it. So they can, mom, you better be here once a week to donate a couple of hours, blah, blah, this and that. MPS can't mandate parents to do anything. We ask them, but we cannot make a mandate. But the choice schools, which covers both entities, require parent involvement. And that is key. Now, how do they get the kids to school? When you drive around them, you notice that the majority of the parents have cars and drive the students to school. So they're able to, you know, they're getting like the cream of the crop in terms of being able to force the parents to be involved and support and volunteer and whatever else they want to require them. So the children naturally thrive better because you've got that parent that is probably just as involved or do the best they can at home. Whereas when you have kids that don't have a place to stay, don't know where the next meal is coming from, then it's a whole different ball game. And if the parent can't cooperate in the manner that those choice schools demand, those kids end up back in MPS. And I think because Erica is an educator and you've worked in MPS, you probably understand that better than I.
Well, I will say this. What people need to understand and what separates the public school system from these other districts is that by law, public school systems are mandated by law. They can't turn away children. They can't say you're a troublemaker. We don't want you here.
Or you're disabled.
Yeah, you can't do any of those things. But in private entities, they can.
Right.
So they can pick and choose who they want and who they're going to have. And I've always said that to me, when you're talking about the competition between the two, you can't say that it's a level playing field.
No.
When you get to pick who the children are that you're going to educate. Let's talk about, Marva, how right now at this critical juncture, in this critical point in time, and when I look at the district, it's losing the children, the younger children, who eventually are going to be fed into middle school and eventually into high school. If you are losing out on the children in the early stages of school, it doesn't bode well long term for the viability of the district, because that's what these, for the most part, these schools are looking at and dealing with. Many of them don't want to deal with the high school student because it's a difficult proposition.
And costly.
Yeah, and a couple of them have tried it and decided, nah, we don't want to do that. So what are your thoughts? And I would say, Erica, you also can weigh in on this about that part of it.
Yeah, well, you're right that we do get our high school students back. I mean, our numbers show that that's when families, you know, do return to our schools. And, you know, I think that bringing in our that early childhood group is so important, because that's when, you know, kids are at their you know, peak for when they're starting to learn. And that's the group that we have to reach out to. I will say one thing, that MPS has to do a better job of telling our own story, because we have so many great programs that families aren't always aware of. I'll just, you know, my granddaughter is in the language school, and I was telling a visiting friend from another state the experiences, and they thought it was a private school. And I said, no, it's a public school here in Milwaukee. So I think we have to do a better job of selling ourselves as an educational system.
I think there's no question that you're 100% correct in that. I've been saying that for decades, that the district does not do itself, you know, any positives by not telling their stories. Let's go to the phone lines and a gentleman you guys might know, Wendell.
Hey, good morning, Wendell.
How you doing? A former school board member of Milwaukee Public Schools. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Walk us through where we are, man, and where we came from.
I've been listening, you know, both all of you know, and especially Ms. Simpson. How do you pronounce your name again?
Ms. Simpson.
Simpson.
Yeah, that know me well.
But yeah, we go back a long ways.
A long way.
I go back farther than both of you. We spent 30 years together, Wendell and I, in another life.
And I want to start this, my comments, by saying that I appreciate all the three of you, because I've had the opportunity to work for a long time with Marva and Earl, especially. And then Ms. The person who defeated me.
Simpson.
But Simpson is who defeated me. Not just defeated me, and she did a great job. And I still say she's doing a great job. So I'm not here to criticize. I want to just share a little background and a slightly different view on what I think we should be doing. And, you know, this has been my position for a few years now. Although I was, you talked about this whole process starting, Earl, more than 30 years ago, I was a plaintiff in the original choice case. I was a plaintiff. If I had to do it all over, I would still be a plaintiff. But my reasons then for being a plaintiff in the case and trying to stop the process was I took the position that we would be fighting over money and the children would be left on the sideline. And time and history has proven that to be the case. The fight continues between the public, the choice, and the charter institutions. And my position is that we have to find a way to move away from the fight, the three entities, and focus on our children's making the best possible opportunity for our children to get that education they need. So I want to just keep reiterating that, you know, because I feel that's where I am. And that's where I've been for a number of years now, especially after watching the same play out and being a player in it. And I think we're coming up to that place where we will come to a place where the charter choice and public institutions will put down their harsh descriptions of each other.
So let me ask you this.
And just try to work together.
So let me ask you this. The charters and the choice have come into prominence at the pain of the public because the resources have been cut to the public in order to uplift the charter and the choice. Is it safe to say that?
No, I don't agree with that. But let me tell you why. We talk about the dollars. When we talk about the dollars, we talk about not having the resources to fund our school system. That's absolutely untrue. This country, this government, these entities that control the money, there is absolutely adequate resources in the United States to fund the best education system in the world.
But when I
talk about this, I take it all the way. It's not. We're talking about companies and individuals that have trillions of dollars stashed away offshore, not paying taxes into this system to help fund to educate children.
But
that's what we're dealing with.
That's the deal.
So, no, they're not.
So, Wendell, I don't disagree with any of that. But the facts are this. There is a limited amount of resources that are here, not what is supposed to be here, but that are here. And with that limited amount of resources, now they're split into three different entities.
That gets to my point about the fight is directed in the wrong direction, not at each other, but to continue this fight that I'm advocating to force this government to do what it has the power to do.
So, Wendell,
back and put it into our system.
I don't disagree with that at all. I would be unmindful to say that the government is doing the right thing and putting the right amount of resources in education. There's no question that when we can spend $1 trillion a year almost in the military, and that we can't spend those resources better by making sure we educate the children of this nation. That's backwards in the way of thinking. But the chances of overturning that window, are not that great. Hang on, man. We've got to go to a break. Yeah, hang on. We've got to go to a break. And we'll continue the conversation on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. My guests are Marva Herndon, Erica Simpson, and Wendell Harris is on the other line. I see you, Cecile. You will come to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now,
and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered snow showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 38. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows around 33. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 46. A dusting of snow today with another dusting Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 27.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
At waukradio.com.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say
all this hair ain't gray for nothing.
Girl, we couldn't get much higher.
Yeah, you know, because which one of my sisters were you in school with?
Oh, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Miss Marva Herndon. She is a school board member for District 1. And Miss Erica Seamson, who is a school board member from Milwaukee Public School in District 2. Let's go and let's go to Cecilia in Milwaukee. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I just wanted to say I'm not at your last caller. Let me not bust anybody's bubbles. I remember when Wendell Harris got on the school board, and, you know, I remember when people were, you know, rallying behind him and trying to get him to, you know, commit to the public school children, and that's what I remember. But I also remember when Ms. Simpson came on board, she really came on and she said what she said and she did what she was supposed to be doing on what she said on her actual on her flyers and stuff. So I'm going to say this, and the same thing about Marva Herndon. She speaks the truth on her stuff. And this if you're around public school people, you would know that the fight is really about the children. And these two ladies and all the rest of the people that are sitting on the board that voted in music, art, and physical education, I have to commend them for that. I mean, it was a long time coming until everybody could get together and get what was right for the children, because they had been, you know, there had been so much stuff missing from the system there. And I was glad when they got that all passed and are still working on getting all the teachers in place to make sure that our children get what they need. But when the children are sent back to the public schools from after the third Friday, and they get their count in and they send them back, Milwaukee Public Schools does not get that money back. And that's the shame of it. And I'm not sure what the people up in the state capitol are doing, but they do Milwaukee Public Schools a dirty when it comes down to not having these people in that private industry send the money back with the children. You know, that's as a parent of a Milwaukee Public School a child and having relatives in that system, I think they need to send this money back. And I'm not sure why nobody's, I'm not sure who's going to fight that fight about getting them to do that, because it's unfair and it's unfortunate. Here, the private industry gets a free ride, and we still and we have to struggle with and get things passed, get a referendum.
Well, so that's the politics.
Politics?
Yeah. You know, when you tell somebody one thing and do another, politics is, you know, we talk about politics. And so we live in a representative government where we let people, and those people are supposed to do our bidding. But then they turn around and do something completely different. That, to me, that's a trick. So you coined the phrase politics. And people don't like hearing that, but it's the reality of what we are faced with. Thank you very much for the call.
I understand.
Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. So Marva, you wanted to talk about some of the initiatives that have taken place. I heard the young lady talk about sports, at gym, and band, and those kinds of things, which were there for all of us. When I was in grade school, we had music.
Correct.
All the way through. We had gym. These are things that weren't electives, they were expected. It was a part of the package of education. Many of us didn't know that that was no longer the case.
Correct. I learned of it with my youngest daughter, and what happened with her was that she was into music. You know, I was a musician and all of that, and music is the life of my home. But we had difficulties, and she graduated high school in 2000, and she wanted to be in a marching band, and that's when we found out there were basically no marching bands. And you went to Washington with my family members. I graduated from what is now the High School of the Arts, and you know, the music was everywhere, and bands were created, and some of them, many of them, became famous and all of this. And that's when I realized that we only had like 2 to 3 schools on the north side that even was teaching music at that point. So that's something that I've been, you know, I've been out here fighting for our kids for decades. So I, as I campaigned to get on the board the first time, that was my first project to find out, number one, why and how could we repair that and concentrate on the schools that lacked the most in these entities, which was the Northside schools. So I was successful in doing that thanks to my co-board members. It was a team effort to get that, where we have art, music, FIAT, and librarians, and initially the referendum from the taxpayers, thank you so much. That helped us with that, and psychologists, social workers. Am I missing anything?
So hold the thought, because we got to go to a break, and we'll come back on the other side. My guest is Ms. Marva Herndon. She's a school board member, Milwaukee Public Schools. She's running for re-election in District 1, Ms. Erica Seamson, who is a school board member, and she's a candidate for re-election in District 2, Milwaukee Public Schools, April 4th election. We'll be right back.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic ABC Media News app.